Hallelujah. No, I did not. Tammy Mitchell, JD, I talked to him, and they had went to Charlotte one day this past week. I can't remember which day. And they came back, and I talked to JD, and he's excited, and her liver's not as bad as they thought it originally was. And they said the numbers range from 6 to 40, and you have to be a 25 to get on the list, and she's just 10. So she's just not much above, and he's excited fired up over it, so but thank the Lord for the prayers, and she's doing well. She goes back in 6 months, and so we'd all prayer chain prayed for Tina also, and she's still doing good. Thank you. Anything else? Pick up where we left off last week. I want to go back and read a little bit, but there's a message the Lord had laid on my heart. I don't have the football with me this morning, but I brought a football and used to open up in the service about 1961. Vince Lombardi met with the Green Bay Packers, and they had come and got beat in the championship game the year before by the Philadelphia Eagles. When they met in July, they were so close, and all the guys thought probably they just going to build on what they had done. Vince Lombardi stood in front of that bunch of men, and he held a football up, and he said, "Men, this is a football." He started back from the basics. He went all the way down. From then on, his team became known as the most fundamentally sound. They had the fundamentals down. He went over them over and over and over. I remember as I read the article, one of the guys that was a Hall of Fame player later on, he said, "You might ought to slow down a little, coach. We can't hardly keep up with you." And he's a joke, but he never let off. And from then on, he never did lose a playoff game. The next 7 years, he won 5 of the 7, 3 in a row, Super Bowls. And, of course, today we, here in a few weeks, the team will hold up the Lombardi Trophy. And it's named after him. But he went back to the basics. And I felt like it started last week, and the Lord is kind of wanting us to go back to the basics. A lot of times we get carried away and we think bigger and better and things that we want to do, and this church is doing this, these folks are doing this, and there's new ways, new things to do. But I tell you, if you want a right relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there's nothing like doing it the old-fashioned way. He didn't say it the old-fashioned way, did he? When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. And I want us to think and get our minds as going back to the old paths, which is the good way, and walk therein. Now, there's some new things that we can do, but I tell you, there is no substitute for getting. I usually read before I start preaching. If you would, stand with me. I got a lot of preach in me during that song, I'm telling you. You might be in trouble. The Lord just blessed my heart. Luke chapter 5. This is, our Sunday school is going through the book of Luke right now. And as I was looking this a few weeks ago, the Lord really stirred me with this passage. Luke chapter 5, the Bible says, "And it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God." Boy, I tell you, we need that nowadays. We need people that will press to want to hear the word of God. One of the prophets, I can't remember exactly which one he said, give a prophecy, said that there'll be a famine of the hearing of the word. I'm afraid that's where we are today, is that we're not excited about God's word. And this verse right here, they were pressed. They was wanting to hear. He had the words of life. He had what it was, and they were hung on his words, and they wanted to hear more of it. Are we that excited about God's word? Are we hanging on it? Every word, every jot, every tittle, do we get excited to get to read the word of God? I was excited. Sister Penny came in this morning. She said, "Preacher, we talked about it Wednesday evening." Said, "I get to come to church today." Amen. Glory, hallelujah. We think a lot of times it's a Christian duty, and we've got to read the word, we've got to pray, we've got to go to church. It ought not be the way we think about it. We get to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for the draught." Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing." Boy, I tell you, I've got a note, and I'm going to try to preach on this a little bit if I can keep from it right now. "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. See, I know that I'd have to preach on it right now. I think it. See, Peter was a seasoned fisherman. You couldn't fool him about fishing. He knew the right time to fish. He knew how to go about it. And what the Lord was calling him to do was totally different. And he said, "Lord, I know you're a good teacher and everything, but you don't know nothing about fishing. You don't know a thing about fishing." But he said, "Nevertheless." Woo! Glory, hallelujah. I'll tell you right there, I'd preach. Nevertheless. Glory. It's going against everything I think, everything I believe, everything I've been taught. But if you say it, I'm going to do it. Glory, hallelujah. I tell you what, we need a church full of folks like that. We need folks that say, not only interested in hearing the word of God, but to be doers. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the word of God. Lord, I pray you'll bless this time. Anoint. Move in our hearts. Challenge us to a greater walk with you. A deeper walk. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last week we talked about going deeper. And I'm going to try not to re-preach this message, but I want to hit a few things. How willing are we to launch out into the deep? How willing are we to get into the deep matters of God? I read in Ezekiel, I won't read all of that again, but the water came out of the throne, under the throne of the temple, and it came out, and Ezekiel seen the prophecy, and it got bigger and bigger, and he waded in it. Then he got to his knee, and then he got to his waist, and then he got out in it, and it got over his head. See, I'm thinking that as Christians, we like waiting. We like being in the shallow waters of the basic doctrines. Preacher Cutshaw, you say it. A lot of folks just want power in here. We just like power is what we're supplying. He'd say, we want fire insurance. I never will forget. But if you're around me much, there's one thing you'll notice. I'm never really happy with the status quo. Rhonda's, you ask Rhonda, if I'm going to do it, I want to accept it. My daddy always told me, son, if you're going to do anything, do the best you can. He instilled that in me at the young age. And if I play Monopoly with you, I'm going to try to beat you. I'm going. Second place is the first loser. I mean, I'm going to run and us, you quit playing Monopoly with me. Say, Tim, that's not real money. Ask the banker every time. You know, kind of we talk about Judas and the money, I guess. But I like to excel. When I got committed my life to the Lord, I wanted to excel. I wanted, if he had it for me, I wanted. Whatever it was that was going on at the church, whatever was involved, I wanted to be part of it. I'd lived the other way long enough. I was in, and I was ready, and I was ready to do what God wanted me to do. I think the reason I called to preach, I prayed time after time after time. Lord, show me your will. I want to be your will. Help me be your will. He said, okay, I'll make you a preacher. Maybe I shouldn't ask you. But I want the best. And I'd be reading, and I still do it. And I run across something, and something tie in, and man, I will not rest until I get it figured out. And sometimes it's days. And the Holy Spirit will move, but I like going deep. Into the deep things of God. I like getting over my head. I'll study, I'll do, I'll read, I'll pray, and I get up here and I'll say, Lord, I don't have a clue what this passage means. And the Holy Spirit will say, move over, let me preach it. Well, boy, I tell you what, I like getting over my head. And I think as a church, if we want to grow spiritually, and we want to grow numerically, and we want to be what God wants to be, we've got to get into the deep things of God. Oh, we might be here a while. I'm going to have to hurry for me. First of all, God asked Peter to get involved. He said, get out of the off of the land and get back in the boat. He wanted him to get involved. And then he's in Ezekiel, as we looked and we seen that we must be prepared. Then we got to practice studying the Word of God. I can't get over this year of studying God's Word and going through it in a year. Then Ezekiel talks about the waters getting up to the loins, growing in the knowledge of the gospel, getting deeper. How much do we study was the one thing. How much do we pray? How long has it been since we fasted? You want to sharpen your prayers, miss a few meals. The Bible says faith come by hearing, hear by the Word of God. How faithful are we to attending the house of God? How faithful are we into paying our tithes? Malachi said, God said, you rob God of your tithes and offerings. And we must persevere. In Ezekiel 47:5, when he got over his head, he did it by faith. Now, I want to get into the day. Here in Luke 5, he first said, verse 4, launch out into the deep. But then he said, let down your nets. And I want us to think on the thought of, are you willing to let down your net? How willing are we to let our nets down? He said here in the passage it was for a draw, which is, means a big catch or a haul. This is used in hunting and fishing. And if today we might say a fishing, and I bet Steve's used this, boy, we slay them today. You ever said that? I figured you had. Yeah, I seen the wife light grinning. Yeah, boy, we slay them. And that's what he's saying. Well, you're talking about an abundance of fish. He said, let down the net for the draw. Let down the net. You better get another boat in. Well, you ever had so many of those things you had to get another boat in? No. Normally we don't. We had to get another boat in to bring the fish in. See, I want us to think when we get deep and we get into the deep things of God, I'm going to tell you exactly where it's going to take you. Concern about people. Concern about the lost. Concern about your neighbor. Concern about your co-worker. Concern about that brings you up the grocery store. Concern about experience that, and he will do it. See, Jesus had challenged Peter to get involved. Now he was asking him to act in faith. He said, I know it's going against everything you know, Peter, but do it anyway. Do it with faith that you're going to catch some. It was the wrong time of the day to be fishing. It was totally different. And he said, try me. Peter said, nevertheless, I'll do it. See, in Ezekiel chapter 47, I want to read. Of course, I read it last week, but the waters came out. They got deeper and deeper, and it got over his head. Then in verse 7, he says, now when I had returned, behold, at the brink, back to the river, were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea. See being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. And because these waters shall become thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live, rather the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand up on it from Engedi unto Eglim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. Of course, we talked last week of this water is the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel message. And he said it's going to grow and get so big. And now he's saying he's got a lot of fish in it. The area he is describing here in the book of Ezekiel, how many's ever heard of the Dead Sea? How many think you ever fish in the Dead Sea? There's the concentrate of salt is so thick that you can lay on the water and you won't sink. Fish, ain't nothing can live in that. And he said, God's going to heal the Dead Sea to where there'll be fish in. This is prophetic of today.
Jesus came, it was dead. And then the water got shallow and it got deeper. Now look at the fish. Jesus told Peter on one occasion, said, come, I'll make you fishers of men. This morning, sit here, if you're saved and on your way to heaven, you ask Jesus into your heart, you're a fisherman. Ezekiel said, the fishermen will come and catch a lot of fish. There'll be many caught. The apostles started out fishing. Glory, hallelujah. I remember one time when I was a boy and we went down to Douglas Lake. We didn't have a boat, but there was a little island about halfway, far as halfway up the parking lot. We waded out onto that island, carried our tackle and everything. And them little striped bass was running. First, only time I ever got in anything like this. We had a rooster tail on the bottom and a fly about 2 foot. And when that water would ripple and they'd come through, we'd bring them in 2 at a time. I never had so much fun fishing in all my life. We brought them in. We come out with stringers. I don't mean a stringer. Stringers full of fish. These two old boys pulled in, got out of the truck. We come through there with all them fish. And that woman said, where did you all catch them fish? We said, out there on that island. He looked at his buddy and said, we're fixing to get wet. We're fixing to get wet. Boy, I think, don't you want to get wet? It's worth the walk. It's worth the trouble to get there. When you start leading people to the Lord and God starts moving and you start seeing what He can do, it's worth ever, ever that you ever put into it. How long has it been since you led somebody to the Lord? Since they prayed with you and tears just run down their face and they said, Lord, forgive me, come into my heart. Well, I'll tell you something. You want to get excited as a Christian, you lead somebody to the Lord. There's somebody that you're the only one that's going to catch them. The disciples was these fishermen. We're these fishermen. I want to take just a minute. The first thing I want you to notice here that they said that the two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them. Man, that jumped off a page at me yesterday. You ain't going to catch no fish if you ain't the boat. They was off on the shore, mending their nets. How many fish? Fish ain't going to jump up on the shore in your net. Amen? They were out of the boat. The first thing Jesus done was got Peter back in the boat. He said, come, let's cast that a little bit. I need to use your boat. So the first thing he done, he got back in the boat. How many of us need to get back in the boat? How many of us need to get excited about the things of God again? I'm afraid, as I said earlier, it's a have-to. It's a duty. We've got to go to church or we sure don't want to go to hell. It's not a duty, it's a privilege. Amen. To be saved and on your way to heaven and to be able to come to the house of the Lord and to be able to pray and be able to read the Bible and be able to do and worship and the things we do. What a privilege it is. Amen. Let's get in a boat. There may be some here that's out of fellowship. That's kind of let things creep in. See, they were busy. They were bending their nets. It's a good thing to mend your nets, but they were there instead of out catching fish. If we're not too careful, as a church, we'll get too busy doing church things and we'll forget the fish. Now, I hope I don't come across this morning. I ain't calling people fish. I don't mean to. But I'm... Metaphorically speaking. But it's important business. How important was fishing to those guys? It was their livelihood. It's how they fed their families. It's how they paid their mortgage. It's how they paid for the boat. It's how they paid for their nets. How important is it to the Christian walk and the church that we are fishing? That we're in the boat. We're in the right relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm telling you this morning, if he's not in the boat with you, you don't have much chance. It's important that we get things settled and we get things right. And God uses people with a clear heart and a clean heart and it's seeking his will. The Bible says he's coming back to get those that's looking for him. One other place says it's doing his will. Now, I hope I didn't scare you. I don't want you. Oh, if I pray for God's will, he'll make a preacher out of me. But see, he's got a purpose. He didn't save you just to take you to heaven. He saved you because it's a part in your life that he can use to bring him glory and honor. He got Peter back in the boat, and then he got him back out in the deep water. See, if we get sometimes, we get kind of sidetracked with things. And I'm not saying mending your nets was important. Because if your nets wasn't no good, you couldn't catch fish. So I mean, it's important. But if we're not too careful, we'll get too caught up in the things. Come on. Are you with me? That means amen. So often, people in the church get so caught up in the work of the Lord that we forget the Lord of the work. I'm telling you, you do. I can speak from experience. You can go through the motions, you can go there every time the church door's open, you can pay your tithes, you can do everything, but you kind of drift off. And you're not got the heart of the matter of God in your heart. We get like the church needs Martha, but sometimes we get like Martha. We get cumbered about with much serving and much doing instead of being like Mary and Andy Stephen. He said, Martha, she's chosen. And see, he said, now, let's get out in the deep where the fish are. Now, a lot of us don't like deep water. And I'm one of them. I told you about being on a cruise, and they said, we are now in 2,000 foot of water. 2,000 foot! That's a boy scared an 8 foot. He said, let's get out into the deep things. And then the third thing that he done, he got him fishing again. See, when we start slipping out of God's will, we start losing concern for souls. When we start easing off, we start losing the vision of winning people to the Lord. Now, God didn't save you and me to take up 18 spaces in these pews a couple times a week. I love having you here. Don't get me wrong. I think the Bible says we ought to come to church. But this is not what we're saved for. Y'all can't see it. It's time. see him come to preach. Right over that door. The back door. You can't see it. Drop in. Leave the service. The work's out there. We come in here to get encouraged. We come in here to lift each other up. We come in here to praise the Lord for what he's going to do next week. And for what he's done last week, and excited about what he's going to do next week. And we leave your mission field as outpost. Take it from the city to the city. That is what he's saying. Not just so we can go to heaven.
Plan A was that God would, Jesus come down, call the disciples. In Matthew chapter 9 and 10, it said Jesus went, and then in the next one, it said Jesus sent. Jesus went and showed them how to preach, teach, and heal, then he sent them. And then they taught others. And then they taught others. And then it's come right down the line, and now it's our lot. He's went, he's sent others, and now it's our turn to go. And it's for us to go and win people to the Lord and teach them to win the next generation. I've heard it said we're one generation away from a church building. If we don't train the next one, who's going? That's plan A. You know what plan B is? There is no plan B. If we fail, our people go down. How are you doing? Are you fishing? Are you out there deep? Are you excited about the things of God? Are you witnessing? Are you leading people to the Lord? Are you inviting people to church? Are you concerned? Are you praying? Are you tears running down your face for the lost? Are you concerned about your family? Are you concerned about your neighbors? Or are you just happy to be saved? I'm afraid there's a lot of churches that's happy with us four and no more, and we just sat down and God's blessed us good. We put in enough money to pay the light bill. Put padding on the pews, make us good and comfortable. We sit in church, happy as a hog eating salt bar. Amen?
Amen.
And the neighbors are going to hell. The people down the road is going to hell. That co-worker is going to hell. That loved one's going to hell. We're arguing on which color we're going to put on the pews. Come on. Don't quit me now. Are we fishing? Has he got us back out? See, he wants us fishing again. I guarantee you, when you got saved, one of the first things you did was start telling everybody about it. Then you got over the honeymoon. Then some at church made you mad. Then you got the pooch lip. Then you quit going to church for a while. Quit reading your Bible. Because every time you got the Bible out, God dealt with you about the way you was feeling toward other people. So you don't read the Bible like you used to. You don't pray because the Holy Spirit started convicting you. And you start saying, phew. And then you show up. And if somebody, if nobody else comes, amen. I don't want to stand before the Lord that way, do you? See, God, have you ever looked, thought about what God can do with a
that surrendered life. Let's take the Peter, as that's the one that's here. God called Peter and he told him, he led him out and he said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And this, I believe, I'm convinced 100% that this story is prophetic to Peter, what God's going to do in his life. He said, get out, get back in business. What happened after the Lord died? Peter said, I'm going fishing. I'm just going back fishing. Then the Lord recommissioned him. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and in I got it written down somewhere it is. Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. To me, other than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached the greatest message ever been preached. I believe one day I'm going to get to hear it. This message has blown me away so many times. Just a few days earlier, Jesus said, I didn't know him. I told you I didn't know who this man was. Then he started cussing a third time. Then he went out and wept bitterly. Bible said in the day of Pentecost, he stood up and said, this Jesus whom you crucified is the Lord. Boy, the boldness that he had. But I want you to carry on to verse 41 in chapter 2. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You talking about fishing. You're talking about baptizing. I bet you there's a bunch of disciples tired that day. You baptized 3,000 people. They added into the church 3,000 in one day. You talk about it took another boat, wouldn't you say? Jesus had told him, Peter, I'm going to make a great man out of you. You're going to lead a lot of people to the Lord. There's going to be people through years and years that's going to come to heaven because of you. Guess what? You can be that person. You can be the one that can lead men to the Lord. You may only lead one, but that may lead the next bill of hearing to the Lord. You may be a Mordecai Ham. You know what? You're looking at me strange. You don't even know who he is. He shoots out and led D.L. Moody to the Lord. And you can follow it and come right down. Mordecai Ham, D.L. Moody comes on down. I can't remember exactly. Billy Sunday. And then the one that went and preached to Billy Graham. Billy Graham's in the lineage of Mordecai Ham. His faith went to work. D.L. Moody was working, led him to the Lord. Folks just want us to get out off the shore into the shallow water. Let's get out of the shallow water. Let's get out of the water. Let's let them advance. I think that's cliche. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I'm so thankful for your touch.
I'm so thankful, God, for your passage this morning to encourage our hearts. Lord, that we trust you. Lord, so often as we as Christians, we get busy with things, and Lord, even preachers, we get busy with the work, and we let up on our devotion to you. We let up on the basic needs of a Christian life. Lord, did I pray this morning, Father, that you would move upon our hearts, and God, you'd challenge each one of us. Lord, that you'd stir our hearts and you'd challenge us to get in the boat in a right relationship with you. There may be some that's kind of maybe cold and indifferent and may never call upon you to save their souls. Lord, that I pray, God, that you'd move on every heart this morning. Lord, that each of us, I'm sure, can get closer with you. I'm sure each of us can increase our devotion. Lord, that in our concern for the lost. Lord, I pray you'll burden our hearts. I pray you'd challenge us. I pray, God, that you'd use today your word that you'd given us to encourage us to go forward and be everything you want us to be. Lord, we love you and praise you today. In Jesus' name. Will you come this morning? If God spoke to your heart in anything, will you come? Step out. Will you come? Today, and maybe you need to nail something down. Maybe the Lord's dealing with you about something. Here, in verse 5, Peter said, "Nevertheless, at thy word I let down the net."